You're standing in the shade.
What's that?
About 20 feet from the doorway through which the casket will be drawn. The black drape around the doorway, blowing gently in a wind.
We interrupt the Washington ceremonies briefly to switch to Tom Perriman at Dallas Police Headquarters.
A massive confusion fills the halls here at Dallas Police Headquarters. Literally, it seems like hundreds of reporters are milling about after rushing between here and the county police headquarters in the county jail where prisoner Oswald was to have been transferred around 11 or 11:30 this morning. Police have in custody a man identified as Jack Ruby, owner of two or more strip clubs in Dallas. It's reported he shoved several detectives aside, according to eyewitnesses, and put a .32 snub-nosed revolver, it's reported as a .32, at least a snub-nosed revolver, very close to Oswell, within a matter of feet, three or four perhaps, and triggered one bullet into the upper stomach of Oswell, who was, of course, loaded into an ambulance which was standing by in the basement of the Dallas City Police Headquarters and rushed to Parkland Hospital, the place where President Kennedy died. That's the latest details from Dallas Police Headquarters, Tom Perriman reporting.
And now, back to Washington.
Our reporters and photographers. The six riders mounted.
We'll be back to the description in Washington after this message.
The NBC radio network has canceled all regularly scheduled programs to bring you this continuous coverage of the events surrounding the death of the late President of the United States, John F. Kennedy. We will be on the air with this continuous coverage until 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight, with continued coverage Monday starting at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We pause now for station identification.
WWJ and WWJ-FM, Detroit.
And now we return you to the nation's capital.
Famous Lafayette Park and down 17th Street. And now the president's military aides, Captain Taswell Shepherd, the naval aide, the Air Force aide, Brigadier General Godfrey McHugh, and the military aide, Major General Chester Clifton, have just walked in step through the doorway, down the steps, taking their positions at one side of the eight rifle-carrying members of the honor guard. The rifles at parade rest. In any moment, we expect to see the casket carried out of the White House. Military aides standing now at attention at the bottom of the steps. Captain Shepherd, of course, in the blue uniform with a white cap and the gold fourragère. And now through the doorway, three priests. Two of them in the flowing black cloaks. The man in the middle, dressed in the clerical garb worn on the everyday occasion, an overcoat. They take their place on the driveway just to the left of the military aides. Orders sounding out from the military. The casket is now appearing in the doorway, draped with a flag.
The moment is here.
Being carried by eight enlisted men representing the services. They stop for a moment, present arms by the gauntlet of honor guard through which it now passes, slowly moving down the stairway, and behind them, Mrs. Kennedy, draped in black with a black veil, on her left in a little blue coat, six-year-old Caroline to her right, in a matching blue coat, John Kennedy, Jr., who will be 3 years old Monday. Children look off as the casket is placed aboard the black caisson. Behind Mrs. Kennedy, holding her two children on either hand, President Kennedy's sisters and his brother, Attorney General Robert Kennedy. Two of the sisters, we see, also wearing the black veils, not over their faces, but on there. Mrs. Kennedy turns and talks to Caroline. Still uttering some words to her six-year-old daughter. She will be 6 years old shortly. Behind the Attorney General, with two of his sisters to his left, are his brothers-in-law, Steve Smith and Sergeant Shriver, and behind them, President and Mrs. Johnson, all still standing at the top of the steps at the North Portico. Mrs. Kennedy's mother and stepfather are still inside the doorway, Mr. and Mrs. Hugh Hawkenclaus. The casket has now been strapped onto the caisson, and now slowly the caisson starts to move away. The flag of the president moving out behind him, and off on a parallel driveway just on the other side of the columns is the riderless horse, Blackjack, with the stirrups reversed. A sign of grief for a dead warrior. You may have heard the horse hoofs in the background. Mrs. Kennedy, holding Caroline on her left and John on her right, starts to move down the steps toward a car and starts to enter the car, the children first. Mrs. Peter Lawford, Mrs. Stephen Smith, waiting near the first car. Brother-in-law Peter Lawford standing nearby. The Attorney General will be riding with Jacqueline Kennedy and the children. There have been no tears we can see at this moment, but obviously grief, shock. The president's widow is in the car now. Immediately in front of the limousine bearing Mrs. Kennedy is a sailor carrying a flag. In front of him, eight enlisted men following the caisson on which rests the casket bearing the remains of the late president. And the cortege begins. Secret Service agent climbs into the front seat of Mrs. Kennedy's car. The cortege starts to move. The former president's sisters and brothers-in-law now moving into another limousine behind as other people start to move out now through the doorway. We see Mrs. Robert Kennedy with their children. President Kennedy's longtime friend, Lamoine Billings. Mr. Kennedy's very close friend and political mentor, David Powers. And the muffled drums start to be heard. Lining the highway, the driveway, the flags of the states. Limousines still picking up the people waiting here. President and Mrs. Johnson have already taken their places and are in the motorcade. The caisson has just left the immediate grounds of the White House, moved on to Pennsylvania Avenue. And is on its way the 1.8 miles to the Capitol. President Kennedy served there both as a member of the House of Representatives and as a member of the U.S. Senate. The member of the family who has assumed the ever responsibility of making the arrangements and seeing that as far as the family's wishes are carried out is Sergeant Shriver, who is now climbing into a limousine after seeing that the other members of the family are taken care of. Sergeant Shriver, director of the Peace Corps, now he moves off in a limousine. And the cortege is on its way. The closest members of the family, the closest friends of John F. Kennedy, joining and getting into the limousines to make their way toward the Capitol. Herbert Kaplow, NBC News, on the north portico of the White House.
We will now pick up the presidential funeral cortege at the Treasury Department in Don Doak.
The cortege, led by an escort of Metropolitan Washington policemen, has just turned from Pennsylvania Avenue down to 15th. It has turned the corner, will move down 15th about a block, where it will then bear left down the broad Pennsylvania Avenue, a little over a mile from this point to the Capitol. Where we are standing, you can see the procession. The cortege is now about halfway down 15th. Perhaps you can hear in the background the muffled roll of the drum corps, made up of units of the Army, Navy, and Marines. Lining the streets are thousands of people, quiet, thoughtful, sober, listening, watching, and waiting for a glimpse of the caisson bearing the body of the late President of the United States. About two paces out from the curb, lining the street, are soldiers in their dress uniforms, standing at parade rest, their rifles, bayonets fixed, standing stiffly, soberly at attention. Following the drum corps that is now approaching our position here at the corner of 15th and Pennsylvania is a company of Navy personnel, members of a unit which the late president, served with when he was in the Navy. Which you can hear in the background is now moving past us. The police escort is now turned from 15th Street down the broad Pennsylvania Avenue, Where we stand, we can see the Capitol building standing tall and straight in the bathed in the warm sunshine. Police escort now moving down the Pennsylvania Avenue, followed by troops from all the armed services, followed by a company of Navy personnel, which the President was associated during his service in the Navy. Next comes a special honor guard of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Our view is obscured by a crowd that is gathered in front of us. Special Joint Chiefs of Staff Honor Guard is followed in the cortege by a color detail and members of the clergy. And now we can see the six gray horses drawing the black caisson, bearing the flag-draped coffin of the late President of the United States, John F. Kennedy. The caisson is flanked on either side by 10 men, members of each of the armed services. Thousands of people here are standing very quietly. Now moving behind the Navy man carrying the presidential flag is the dark gray horse, the riderless horse. Now moving past us are the big black limousines carrying members of the immediate family, carrying the new President of the United States, Lyndon Johnson, and his wife. People have now begun to move along the sidewalks to keep in view the caisson as it rolls down Pennsylvania Avenue toward the Capitol, where it will lie, the body of the late President will lie in state in the rotunda. The cortege, now led by the police escort, has moved about a third of the way down Pennsylvania Avenue. They're moving at a slow cadence, about 100 steps a minute. The entire cortege was to have taken about 48 minutes from the White House to the Capitol. We can now see from our point here at 15th and Pennsylvania Avenue most of the cortege from a rear view. Count 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10 black limousines carrying members of the late President's immediate family, carrying the new President and his wife, carrying other close friends, members of the administration. This is Don Doak at the Treasury Department.
We will next pick up the funeral cortege. Again, we have to use the word ironic, at the Justice Department, where the President's brother presides as Attorney General. We go now to the Justice Department and to Jack Perkins.
Speaking from the Justice Department, it is hard to say whether this is the front or the back of the building, and it certainly doesn't matter, but this is the side of the building which faces Pennsylvania Avenue. And we await now the first view for the people here on this stretch of Pennsylvania Avenue, about half the distance of the procession. We await the first view of the caisson, of the cortege. This part of Pennsylvania Avenue stands mainly in shade and chill. The sun hidden behind the building, which we now stand in the shade of, the Justice Department building. On the balcony, around the third floor of the building, many people stand looking down. We presume them to be Justice Department employees, those who have worked, who work with and for Attorney General Robert Kennedy. It is shade all along this part of the avenue, and the first time the cortege will again emerge into the sun once it passes us will be as it approaches the gleaming white dome of the U.S. Capitol. There have been people waiting here for hours. It is not a heavy, thick crowd. It is four or five deep, perhaps, along the curb. And it is quiet. There was a chap passing by here not long ago, offering for sale autographed pictures of the late president. We did not see him make one sale. This is not the place, this is not the time for a huckster. And he went on his way quietly. Those viewing Pennsylvania Avenue from the balcony of the Justice Department building can look down the avenue now and see the solemn procession approaching us. Those at street level have a view of the police detail leading the cortege, but that is all so far. There are a few transistor radios among the people who are waiting here, but for the most part it is an extremely quiet and appropriately quiet gathering. Many of the people we see standing along the street to pay their respects are young people, young parents. Their youth is striking and certainly not inappropriate. Young parents in many cases with small children on their shoulders. And it may be that some of these young parents were themselves small children on a day not unlike this 18 years ago. Looking down Pennsylvania Avenue, the white Capitol dome in the sun. -46 degrees, I believe it is. The sound of the muffled drums approach us now. Along the streets, along the curbs, standing between the people who have gathered and the procession as it will pass, our honor guards of the services. At this particular stretch, we see Marines and soldiers, the Marine sergeants with their swords drawn and held at right shoulder. The police detail now approaches the Justice Department building, and the caisson and the long shadows . As best we can tell, there is along this stretch of the avenue, among the people looking on, as best we can tell, not a word being spoken. The incessant drums, the reverential cadence, the snare drums wrapped in black, shrouded in solemnity, those of the various services who are performing the cadence, playing the muffled drums in vari-colored uniforms, among them the anachronistic red dress uniform. The cortege now passing the Justice Department, this about halfway down the route down Pennsylvania Avenue. There are those, some of them are professionals, photographers, others are perhaps amateur photographers, who run along the sidewalks beside the cortege to take pictures. There is their movement, and there is the movement now of the cortege as it passes us. And aside from that, for the rest of the people standing at the curbside, there is virtually no movement at all. Muffled drums have passed us, the Navy enlisted men who form an honor guard for this man of the Navy, for this commander-in-chief. And then the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Maxwell Taylor, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral McDonald of the Navy, General Wheeler of the Army, General LeMay of the Air Force, General Shoup of the Marine Corps, Admiral Rowland of the Coast Guard, the flag, clerics. The gray horses. And the caisson. With its honor guard. Chill wind whipping down the avenue. The horse without a rider, the grim symbol, and the limousines bearing Mrs. Kennedy, bearing the Kennedy family, the children, Caroline and John Jr., brothers and sisters. And as though by my walking along the sidewalk beside this procession, as though they could hold on for another moment to this opportunity to pay their respects, the people pass down the sidewalk, looking straight ahead, hurrying, trying to keep up as close as they can to the caisson and to the limousines. The procession, having now passed the Justice Department building, is in front of the National Archives building, in which are placed the great documents of our and mementos of our nation's history. It will then proceed on down to the point where Pennsylvania Avenue and Constitution Avenue become one. The National Gallery of Art at that juncture. And then at 4th Street, it will turn on and follow Constitution Avenue rather than Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania goes on down directly to the front of the Capitol, as it were. This procession will go to what is awkwardly called the back of the Capitol, the parking lot area, and it is from there that entrance will be made to the rotunda. Behind now the final vehicles of the procession, there is a mass of people
As ahead, the caisson continues to roll down Pennsylvania Avenue. It will, as we say, go on to Constitution Avenue and up and around into the parking lot area. And will at that point then be lifted, the casket will be lifted from the caisson and will be carried then into the rotunda where it will lie in state mourning. Behind the procession, people now have, by the thousands, filled the street and are following the procession. And silently for the most part, but are following it resolutely and with determination to, it would seem, to stay as close as they can to this sad moment and to have one last opportunity to pay respects. But the street is completely filled behind the procession. Completely filled with people. Those who have seen this, the view up Pennsylvania Avenue, as the caisson continues, those who have seen this today, it seems that in the crowd, each head, which for the past 2 days has been staring, shaken, stunned, incredulous, now has viewed this reverential scene, and now, for a moment at least, bows in awful resignation. This is Jack Perkins on Pennsylvania Avenue.
A little less than 3 years after he rode triumphantly up Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol for his inauguration, the late President Kennedy makes his last trip, a trip of death, to lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda. His caisson, as you heard, was preceded by the awesome sound of muffled drums. They're so invarying and so inflexible that they somehow are the sound of doom itself. It was most extraordinary what Jack Perkins reported to us, that the people are following the procession down Pennsylvania Avenue. I cannot remember that having happened before. Usually, no matter how sad and tragic the occasion, the people break up and drift slowly away after watching something like this. The caisson now is approximately passing the Robert Taft Carillon Memorial, the only memorial built to anyone in the Capitol grounds itself. The procession should be just about now reaching the point of turning into the Capitol grounds. It proceeds up Constitution Avenue to one of the first roads that turns off to the right, to the south, into the East Plaza of the Capitol, which incidentally was originally designed and is, as a matter of fact, considered the front of the Capitol, although it faces away from the main part of the city of Washington. The East Plaza has been the scene of many tragic and many gala occasions in American history. It is, of course, on the east steps of the Capitol that presidents are inaugurated. President Kennedy's casket will move directly over the spot on which he stood when he was sworn in as president. Mrs. Kennedy will walk directly over the spot where she stood at his side when he became our president. Once the cortege reaches the Capitol steps, the casket will be taken up the long flight of stairs through the imposing, magnificent bronze doors for which the Capitol is so famous, placed on the catafalque that has borne the bodies of so many American heroes, the black draped caisson that carried President Kennedy's body to the Capitol, is carrying it to the Capitol, is the same one that bore the body of Franklin Roosevelt 18 years ago when he died in office. The rotunda of the Capitol itself will be rather severe. The majesty of the rotunda, with its enormous cast iron tower that from the inside seems to reach for the heavens itself, will be unbroken by any great display of flowers. The president will be surrounded by paintings of historic scenes in American history, but his catafalque, the bier, will be the right in the center of everything, in the center, of course, of all eyes. The last stretch of the cortege up Capitol Hill, as it's called, usually is the longest for some reason, or perhaps it always just seems to us to be the longest, because we wish trips like this just didn't have to be made and didn't have to be finished. The crowds are apparently still following the cortege down Pennsylvania Avenue. The people are all very quiet. There has been no noise, no disturbances of any kind that we have heard of so far. The solemnity of the occasion is almost oppressive. This is not an artificial solemnity at all. It is so obviously deep-seated and sincere that it is most moving. And once again, all down the line of march, we noticed again the preponderance of young people. Of course, we have people here from all over the United States for this sad occasion. But our people tell us that probably a third of all the people there are young people in their teens. And then, of course, there's the usual complement of very young children, many of whom are being held up on the shoulders of their parents so they can see the president's casket as it goes by. The seven bay horses, carefully trained to maintain their slow and steady pace, are now moving up Capitol Hill with the caisson. Behind the crowds that line the line of march, anywhere from 10 to 15, 20 deep, people that can't get out in the street also are moving along with the caisson, as we've told you before. And it does seem as though they're just reluctant to give up the casket and to give up whatever it means to them, which is obviously a great deal. The muffled drums and the slow pace of the marchers combine to add to the atmosphere of the occasion. The riderless horse that follows the caisson with the stirrups inverted is giving just a little trouble, seems a little fractious, as though he didn't like this either. The military tradition of the riderless horse goes way back in history. Some people think to the times of Genghis Khan. And originally, the horse was a sacrifice to the deceased warrior and hero, was sacrificed and put into the grave with his master on the theory that he could serve his master in the hereafter. The use of seven horses on the caisson has no particular significance except military tradition. The seven-horse hitch was always considered the most efficient for field artillery. And the caisson, after all, is fundamentally of the same design and the same construction as the field piece vehicles that we had many years ago in the Civil War. Mrs. Kennedy is in a limousine with her two children, following behind the caisson and behind the riderless horse. Mrs. Kennedy, so far as we could see when she got into her limousine, was dry-eyed, but there could be no question of the horror she's been through. It showed on her face. She bore herself with great dignity, spoke occasionally to Caroline and John, who were on either side of her as they left the White House. They will, of course, follow the casket into the rotunda of the Capitol when the cortege reaches the Capitol steps. The cortege now is very close to the point at which it turns in to the Capitol, coming up one of Washington's most beautiful tree-lined streets. On one side of the cortege is an open park with a beautiful fountain in it, and beyond that, Washington's Union Station. And on the other side are the Capitol grounds itself. The cortege now is just about opposite an old well house on the Capitol grounds, built of old red bricks. It's now closed up with an iron gate. It's been there since anyone can remember. Considerable work has been done to try to find out just where it did come from and what it was originally. It is supposedly a well house. It is one of the traditional sites in Washington. The whole cortege is short in spite of the number of limousines that are in the procession. I believe one of our men reported to us that they numbered somewhere around 15. I've not had a chance to count them myself. The rhythmic pace of the military men marching in the cortege from a distance gives a very strange appearance. And now, for another view of this, we will go to Merrill Muller.
This is in striking contrast, this brisk fall day. Bright, however, sunny. With that January day, we traveled the same route. The inauguration of John F. Kennedy. A blizzard had struck Washington. A symbol almost of the dramatic and dynamic figure that is now coming back up the hill in a sealed casket. Under the flag.
And now we move up another step to just outside the Capitol, on the Capitol steps, and Richard Harkness.
Here from this vantage point on the Capitol steps on the Capitol Plaza, we see the funeral procession. It has just preceded up Capitol Hill, made the right turn from Constitution Avenue and onto the Capitol Plaza. Undoubtedly, you can now hear the muffled drums in the background. The crowd here numbers in the tens of thousands, perhaps 50,000 or more. The crowd is silent, no chit-chat, most part somber dress. Here, of course, was where President Kennedy was inaugurated before a cheering throng. Here on the Capitol, there will be a ceremony Just before the sealed casket bearing the remains of the late president is carried into the Capitol Rotunda. A 21-gun salute, four ruffles and flourishes, the presidential hail to the chief for the last time, and then the hymn played by the Navy Band, Eternal Father. After that, the president's body in the casket will be carried up the center steps of the Capitol, through the bronze doors, and into the rotunda. It is a bright sun which is shining on the Capitol Plaza now, but also a cold and a cutting wind. The crowd on the side streets, cars were parked last night, and families slept in their cars to be here early this morning. Since 7 o'clock, floral tributes from around the world have been carried into the rotunda. A wreath from King Gustav of Sweden, the president of Nicaragua, from Charles de Gaulle, president of France. Wreaths of fall mums of red roses, marking not only this country, but the world's sadness at this event. The drums, as they approach the center steps on the Capitol Plaza. Drums draped in black crepe. Earlier, a group of presidential aides arrived, stationed in the rotunda. Walter Heller, the economic advisor to the late president. Arthur Schlesinger, Jr., personal advisor. Lawrence O'Brien, presidential intimate, his liaison with Capitol Hill. Ted Sorensen, his personal counselor. Members of the cabinet, ex-Governor Lawrence of Pennsylvania. The flag. The chaplains. And now the hoofbeats of the horses of the caisson on Capitol Hill. And also here today, an honor guard of 42 members of the Special Forces, men who have seen service recently in South Vietnam. The riderless horse is now passing. President and Mrs. Johnson in their limousine. That limousine flanked by four Secret Service men. Silently, the cars go by. The casket has now been brought to a stop before the center steps of the Capitol. The sun glinting on the stars and stripes. The guard of honor now releasing the straps which hold the sealed casket to the caisson. Mrs. Kennedy, Carolyn, and John have left their car and now stand before the casket. With Mrs. Kennedy is the president's brother, the Attorney General, Robert F. Kennedy. The president and Mrs. Johnson leave their car to stand before the casket. The horses are motionless. two flags flying, the Star Spangled Banner and the presidential flag. Troops sharply at attention, unwavering. The winds whip the flag. Crowd silent. The casket will be borne up the steps, the special Hail to the Chief, 21-gun salute in the background. Hail to the Chief. Casket now being slowly carried up the main steps to the Capitol during the playing of this hymn. Mrs. Kennedy, the Attorney General, the two Kennedy children follow the casket as it now passes through the great bronze doors into the Capitol Rotunda.
Capitol Rotunda and Bryson Rash.
The body of the President of the United States is now being borne into the rotunda by the nine coffin bearers. They circle around the inside of a circle of dignitaries. They move all around the circle and then come back to place the body of President Kennedy on the Lincoln catafalque. The catafalque lies east and west, the blue field of stars to the west and north. The eight bearers step down one step. The officer moves to the foot of the casket. And they stand at rigid attention while Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy takes her place just to the right of the door and on the front row of this great circle, which is the rotunda of the Capitol building of the United States. She is dressed in black. She is wearing a black veil over her head. Her face is not veiled. And as the body of the president is now in place in the catafalque, the two flags, the flag of the United States and the flag of the president, are now in position to the west of the coffin and to the president's head. They are in small standards set on the floor of the rotunda. More than 1,000 dignitaries are gathered in this room, which is some 300 feet in circumference. The cabinet, the members of the House and Senate, representatives of the diplomatic corps, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Supreme Court, the undersecretaries and the personal staff of the late President Kennedy. Mrs. Kennedy, with her children by her side, standing alone for the moment. As an honor guard moves in to the inner circle wherein the body of the president lies in repose. They move very slowly with measured short steps, this guard of honor that will be set up about the catafalque. Approximately 20 feet from the wall of the rotunda are velvet ropes that form a circle around the catafalque and the body of the president. It is behind these velvet ropes that the dignitaries of the United States government and the representatives of foreign governments have now gathered. The honor guard is now moving to take up its position on each side of the casket wherein lies the body of President Kennedy. Mrs. Kennedy stands still alone with her children just to the right of the entrance to the rotunda. All of the military here snap to salute quietly as the casket bearers are relieved by the guard of honor. The eight casket bearers turn to their left and march off out of the center of the rotunda and out of the rotunda itself, leaving now around the casket and the catafalque the four men standing at each corner of the casket. At the head of the casket stands the commanding officer of this honor guard. Senator Mike Mansfield is now speaking.
The hatred, the prejudice.